This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant, one versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Mondays means it's Champ and Chump. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stunk? Let's get right back to your phone calls here on this Monday on the Carson Anderson program. John is next here on 97.1. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up? So, Champ, U.S. hockey team, they did a really good job. Chump will be Michigan, because I feel like they could have won that game against Duke. But it was a real, real well-played game. But, yeah, that's just my Champ and Chump.
Yeah, a few things. One, USA hockey teams were great and certainly deserve the acknowledgement. I mean, Michigan had a game where they didn't. They got beat up on the boards a little bit, which surprised me. But they also didn't shoot it that well. And, you know, it's a prime example of You pick a bad day to have a bad shooting day when you're going up against Duke. You might be able to overcome it against Minnesota tomorrow night, but you probably can't do it as often against a team like Duke. I also, somebody called a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, and said, wanted to know if we thought Michigan was the best team in the country. And I made the comment at the time that I hadn't seen enough of Arizona to make that call. Now that I have seen Arizona, I watched an entire Arizona-Houston game and had a chance to watch them with a little bit more scrutiny, knowing that that question had been asked of me. I think there's a bunch of teams that could win it all. Michigan's one of them, and Arizona is awfully impressive. They got length. They can shoot it. I felt like I could see their component parts fitting together the way Michigan's do and say, okay, that's their Mara. There's their Moraes Johnson. Like you could tell, and they were playing without one of their best players, and they have an international roster. They're very impressive. So I think Michigan's in that category along with Duke and Arizona that stand out. I mean, Houston's no joke either, but long story short, I don't think they're runaway the best established. I think if you watch some of these other teams, Arizona's really good. I had not had a chance to really watch them as much as I did this weekend.
I still think Michigan's the best team in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
But Duke is Duke. Duke just has a spell over certain teams. And I think we all collectively hate Duke. Because Duke is Duke.
It's funny because we did that thing on Friday's show where I asked you and I asked Update Kid and I asked Rico, all Michigan State guys, have you ever felt confident going into a Duke game?
No.
No. And I said, I don't feel confident either. This is the least unconfident I have been. Still unconfident, but not as much as usually. Like, what kind of miracle will it take to beat Duke? Because it does feel like Duke has a spell over her.
They're just so irritating. Mm-hmm. It really puts you in a bad place. It's because, and I'm curious if this is the same thing like when Michigan State. So this yesterday, Michigan State plays Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So for Spartan fans watching Michigan Duke, as a Spartan, I hate Duke,
yeah.
Right? But I can't root for Michigan against Duke because I don't want a Michigan. I don't like Michigan. So it puts you in an uncomfortable position of rooting for a team you really, really dislike. Does it go the other way too? Michigan fans watching Michigan State and Ohio State. Michigan fans probably, can't stand yeah, Michigan I mean, State, but Ohio State, I mean, it's different rivalry in basketball than football.
Yeah,
but
I think it does fall into that category. But, you know, look, first of all, Michigan State overcame some foul problems with Jackson Kohler early in the game, and then Izzo uncharacteristically put him back in, and he picked up his third foul. And the look on Kohler's face, like, no, not me. I didn't do that. But
you State know, couldn't shoot in the first half.
No.
And they couldn't. They shot less than 30% from the field in the first
it's,
half.
It's and a, then it's by a the similar end of it, story.
40%. Yeah.
Right? Both Michigan and Michigan State had, and State got it going, and they shoot it against UCLA prior to that. Michigan finished 6 of 25 from 3. And against a good team, it's not going to get it done.
No,
and the rebounding, 41-28 in favor of Duke.
Michigan was 6 of 25?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yep.
So I would not expect that. That's less than 25% from three-point land.
Yep.
That's you're not winning any game in college if you're going to shoot that poorly, typically.
Well, I think you could beat some, not Duke.
No, you
and
can't
if you do that. You
can't beat Duke if you're going to shoot 23% from the three-point line.
Let's go to JC in South Lyon. You're next. Hi, JC.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
Or afternoon now. Hey, my champ is, along with a lot of people, the state of Michigan for all the players connected with the men and the women. It's a great program, a great state for hockey. My chump, I want to know who made the decision to go 3-on-3 for a gold medal. Can you imagine if we went 3-on-3 for game 7 of a Stanley Cup, which I guess is the equivalency if you're looking at international versus the NHL. Listen, that coach was stupid for complaining about it after the game. But whoever made that decision, it should have been 5-on-5 sudden
death. Well, but they don't do that. I mean, when Canada won when they beat the United States in, what was it, 2010, mm-hmm. That was 4-on-4 hockey. So, I mean, it's just what they do right now.
Is it the IOC that makes
it? I assume it's the IOC. It's not the NHL, that's for sure.
I do think it was the NHL. I think the NHL told them you can have our players, but we don't want a marathon overtime session. I think
that's
they probably, that's what
and
I
that's
suspect.
What
I did a Google search this morning. I actually got deep into a wormhole trying to find out the reason why. And unfortunately, today's a terrible day to Google search.
Wow.
Be overtime Olympic hockey because everything's about this game. I suspect that the NHL has said, yeah, you can use our players, but we don't want a triple overtime marathon affair and then come back, fly yeah. around the world and continue the season.
I totally get not wanting to go to play triple overtimes, and they haven't. I mean, we go back to 2014, I think it was the games in Sochi, where TJ Oshie was, they had the shootout.
Yeah.
And TJ Oshie is going forever in the shootout. You know, Sweden won the gold medal back in whatever it was, 1992, with in a shootout. Peter Forsberg had the incredible goal. And they do a different format. They're not going to go and play sudden death for period after period after period. It's a tournament. This is not it's not a playoff. Playoff is different. You got a playoff series. You've got it's just different than the NHL. If you don't like it, I understand why you don't like it, but you can't tell me it wasn't exhilarating hockey, right?
No, I mean
here's what happens.
3-on-3 is entertaining as hell. It's just not even close to what the
normal
game is.
No, of course not. Yeah. But I think we all understand that going into it, once you see it is what it is, and you're like, okay, if the United States had lost, if Canada had converted and scored in the overtime, we'd probably be complaining about 3-on-3 hockey. But it's not what happened. Instead, what it ends up being, it's an equalizer because you put your best players on the ice and there's more ice to work with, and then you see what happens as opposed to – now, it gets away from a little bit from the team concept because it's not all 20 guys on the roster out there, but it's still enjoyable, just like in the NHL in the regular season. We're watching these games in the regular season get decided by 3-on-3 hockey, and if you don't score a goal in 5 minutes, then they go to a shootout. – it's not the same format we use in the playoffs.
No,
but the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are different than a hockey tournament for the Olympics.
Well, I don't think people want it to be different, though, Gator.
I get it.
But there's a lot of people that feel I'm not thrilled
with it either. Could I sit there and watch and love it if it's going to be? Yes. But then the second that one of our guys gets hurt, the second that Dylan Larkin can't recover from getting drilled in the boards by Tom Wilson, and then it affects him as a Red Wing, I'll be pissed. I mean, why are we doing this? This is an exhibition for a gold medal.
How bad is Sidney Crosby's injury?
Right.
Probably, like, it didn't happen to one of our guys, but... You know, I think that's why. I think the NHL, you've got million-dollar commodities over there that they don't want getting any excessive extra wear and tear.
Talking about insurance policies they have to take out, and it gets to be difficult.
Could they go 5-on-5? Yeah, and would I prefer it? Yeah, but at the end of the day, if this is how we get to have the NHL players in it and we get that kind of product every year, if this is the concession that needs to be made, I'll take it.
Well, there are players that aren't playing in the World Baseball Classic because they can't get the insurance.
Okay. Let's go to E in Detroit. You're on 97.1. Hi, E.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I got a champ and a chump for you.
Okay.
All right.
Actually, I got a chump A and a chump B. My champ is the USA hockey and men's and women. They brought the goal home. That's all we need. my chump is... The NCAA, you had this game at a neutral site, and then you have the ACC ref in this game. It said three fouls in the first half within the first 10 minutes of the game. Boozer clearly picked up that fifth foul, and they choked on that whistle. You think about it. When Johnson went up, Boozer pushed him in his back. There was a no call. Boozer come on, scored 7 straight points. That's a turnaround in the game right there. The referees was horrible in that game. I'm still saying April 7th, we will be national champs, and that's my theory. Now, my chump B is the Canadian fans. The fans, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You won in overtime with a 3-on-3 situation, you lost with a 3-on situation. Now you're mad.
When they won the semifinal game.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call. I think most people don't love the format. Maybe some non-hockey fans do because it is exciting. Like, it is very exciting to watch the skill on display. But at the end of the day, it's not like this was sprung on anybody. We knew this is the deal. And if this is the concession that needs to be made to get the NHL players approval to go, then I'm all for it.
I'd like to go back to 4-on-4.
Would you?
For something like this, I mean, the ice is still opened up, but it's, I mean, 3-on-3, it's like you're guaranteed someone's going to score.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. Gator, I want to just follow up and say thank you to all the Carson Anderson listeners I met this weekend at the United Center and the surrounding... bars and restaurants.
Oh, the greater Hammond area?
It's not quite yet, but yes. As the Pistons took it to the Hammond Bulls. You know, it was fun to be a part of that takeover. And it was also fun because the Pistons, I just felt fully confident in our superior basketball team getting the job done. And I've become pseudo-obsessed with something that I keep talking about on the air. And Kang, I want you to tell me to stop, that I need to stop doing this. But I'm always obsessed with what other fan bases and other broadcast crews say about our team. And at the United Center, I wasn't listening to the Bulls broadcast, but midway through the fourth quarter, I had to go to the restroom. So when I went to the restroom, and you're in the restroom, what do you hear piped in? You hear the play-by-play of the local broadcast, which meant our old friend Chuck Swirsky was doing play-by-play for the Chicago Bulls. And it was evident that the Pistons were going to win the game at that point. And I just happened to be in the restroom when they were praising the Pistons, how good they are and how hard they play on that end of the floor, the defensive end of the floor, and, you know, just the same old stuff that we're used to hearing. Maybe I should stop talking about what opposing teams are saying, but I love it.
Well, I mean, they deserve all the accolades they're getting right now. And for them to go into Chicago and and win that game easily. And Jalen Duren, I mean, everybody talks about it, Kate needs a Robin to his Batman. It's Jalen Duren. I don't know why people are so reluctant to say it's Jalen Duren just because he's not a three-point shooter. I don't care. The guy scores 20 points a game. He's a double-double every game. He's an intimidating force, gets things done at both ends of the court. He's great. Well, he does what they need him to do.
The question that people have is, in this day and age where everybody bombs away from three, can a team that doesn't rely on that? Although I got to tell you, Duncan Robinson is every bit, like Saturday night, he was, I mean, guarded threes, fadeaway threes. He was fantastic in that game. But can you do it the way the Pistons are trying to do it? I guess we're going to find out, because they have an identity that they have leaned into and is working for them. Well, and if it doesn't, everyone's going to say, yeah, great, regular season success. You can't do it in the postseason. And I think all of us have that in the back of our mind, that could happen. But, you know, we'll watch and see. I like this team's chances. I like this team's chances to win the East. And who doesn't?
I love that this I figured out over the weekend what it is. It's not just their ability to play defense that I love, or that they do things a little bit differently. They don't launch nearly as many three-point shots as everybody else. Mm-hmm. What I love about this team beyond that stuff, it's the points in the paint. They get it done the old-school way. They're going to feed it inside, and they're going to eat you alive. The game against Chicago, they had 68 points in the paint compared to Chicago's 38.
Right.
You dominate the inside, you're going to dominate the game. I don't care if guys are bombing it from the outside. Keep feeding it in. Get your easy two, your high percentage two, and move on.
Well, Detroit is second in the NBA in points in the paint per game.
And they have the best record in basketball.
Yep. 248-539-9797. And a big week, right? You got San Antonio tonight. You got Oklahoma City on Wednesday. And you got Cleveland on Friday. It just doesn't get any... Well, I mean, I guess it could get bigger than that. But that is a huge week in the NBA regular season for a team that's still trying to prove themselves. And I think they're pretty confident in who they are, but I think they would tell you, yeah, these games against the team out west, it's a big deal.
Well, and tonight's going to be fun because it's Victor Wembanyama, you know, the giant from San Antonio, and he's so talented. He can knock down shots from the outside, despite the fact that he's 8'3" or whatever he is. but he's got a smooth a touch. I mean, he knocks down 81% of his free throws. Think how tough that is to be somebody who's literally like 7'3"
and shooting down at the basket.
Right. I mean, you're shooting line drives, but he's got it down to a science where he's knocking down 81% of those shots. He's a heck of a player. He's so young and so talented. It's fun to watch a team that is, that's their star player, who's this giant, and then our star player is the point guard is gonna push it. And they went against each other in the All-Star weekend, and that was kind of fun to watch. Wembanyama being younger, he likes to play defense too. This will be a real test for the Pistons. San Antonio's no joke. They've got 40 wins on the season. Pistons had the 42-13 record, best in the NBA. But playing without Isaiah Stewart will be difficult for them tonight to have some kind of a physical force. We'll see if Paul Reed continues to be up to the task.
Yeah, this has been a fun stretch, Doug. Other than the Bulls game. By the way, the Bulls have not won a game in the month of February, so...
They're running out of days.
Yeah, exactly. But other than the Bulls game, you had the Knicks, and then this Western Conference, these two big powerhouses are playing. It's because if they make the finals, obviously you only have to beat one team from the West. They don't have to go through the West gauntlet like everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you just want to see how they stack up. And the regular season is great. I think right now they've pretty much double, triple stamped the fact that they're a really good regular season team. They're probably going to be the number one seed in the East. Everything changes in the playoffs, and how does that work out? I mean, I remember the Suns a few years ago won like 64 games. Coach of the Year by Monty Williams. Remember that name, guys? Yeah. Okay. Young team. They got bounced early in the playoffs. The year before that, they made the finals. Young, same squad. Booker, Mikal Bridges, all those guys, DeAndre Ayton. They lost. And then they went away. So this stuff, to me, it's all about, right, at this point for the Pistons, how do they do in this playoffs this year? And then how do they do next year?
Can you sustain it?
Yes, exactly. Because when Trajan Langdon was on the morning show a couple weeks ago, he kept emphasizing they've not even won a home playoff game yet.
Yeah.
So they what is this team really? And then we'll find out in the playoffs. That's what I really want to know. That's why this schedule coming up, Doug, with the two Western Conference teams, it's going to be fun to see how far they've come here.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Luke. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Doug. Hey, guys.
What's up?
Listen. Hey, I'm watching the gold medal game Sunday morning. Period ends. Got to go to church. Got to get ready for church.
Yeah.
11 o'clock mass. So I get there. Tom and Tom's having the mass. St. Kenneth. Shout out to them. Next thing you know, Father Tom's announcing to the parishioners, you're wondering about the gold medal game. We won. The church erupted. It was so loud. It was so funny. And then he says to my Canadian parishioner friends, sorry about that. So it was just a real cool, lighthearted moment. And I thought I'd call in and tell you.
No, well, good. Thank you. Yes.
A little reverence.
Yeah. Good for Father Tom, unless you were in the bubble.
Then I would be pissed. You're like, really? Did you just
do that?
I was
like, our old intern Craig said he wanted to wear a sign around his neck. Don't tell me the score of the game.
Probably can't wear that in church.
No, probably not. Julian in Windsor, you're next on 97.1. Hi, Julian.
Gentlemen, top of the afternoon to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I guess I'm on the other side of it. Kind of a national day of mourning.
Yep.
I honestly, I don't think I can put into words, even if you gave me an hour, you know, what the sentiment is here in Canada. I went up to Toronto to visit some friends and family, because I wanted to be kind of in the Mecca of hockey, for this game. And it's tough. It's Canada's never lost a gold medal game, in the NHL era of the Olympics. So anytime we've made it, we've won. The rivalry with the U.S. is a deep one. I think it started back in 2002 in Salt Lake City, and it's grown steadily, you know, boiled over in 2010. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff I'm seeing online and in the media, you know, stuff like, oh, the, you know, Canada was robbed by the refs with the missed too many men call. You know, the better team didn't win. And, you know, that stuff really pisses me off because as much as I you know, I'm completely torn apart over the loss, and it was the doomsday scenario to lose to the U.S. in any elimination game, certainly the gold medal game, you know, you really can't cheapen what the U.S. did, especially Hellebuck. I mean, he proved that he's number one in the world. I think, you know, some of the post-game interviews, MacKinnon was spot on in the sense that he said, listen, we didn't close, right? And I see a lot of parallels. You know, I think, Gator, I've heard you talk about 2010 a few times. These games were very similar in the sense that for the majority of the game, Canada outplayed the U.S. by, you know, most measurable stats, shots on net, offensive zone.
Yeah, you're not going to get any pushback on that, I don't think. I think anybody who watched the game could see that Canada was outplaying the United States. They just didn't put the puck in the net.
And that's the thing, right? In 2010, Miller stood on his head, and Miller was the best goalie in the world, but Canada found a way to break through and close the game. And in this case, we didn't. And that's what we have to live with, right? The game was in our hands. The puck was on our stick, so to speak. MacKinnon missed an empty netter. Taves got stoned by the paddle with, you know, the puck is an inch higher. I could go on. So the hardest part for me, and I think for most of us, is unlike Four Nations, unlike NHL Stanley Cup, that's yearly. This is going to be a four-year-long pill that we have to live with. And it's just, that's hockey, right? I'd love to see a series, right? I wish there was some logistics way that they could turn into a series to see Canada USA best of seven. I mean, talk about must-watch TV, but in a one game, you know, in hockey where a goalie makes the difference, and especially with the 3-on-3 curveball, you know, stuff like this happens. That's why you got to close. So it's devastating.
Julian, appreciate the perspective.
I didn't want to say this about a lot of people have been quoting Nathan MacKinnon and I think been really kind of cherry picking the one comment
about they had a better.
It's unfair. You can be the judge of who the better team was tonight. That's unfair because the whole quote says this. It's been close for a while, you know? They're an amazing, skilled group of players. I just felt like it wasn't going to be. You guys could be the judge of who the better team was tonight, but they won, we lost. Like, the whole 100%. Quote, and I'm
difference.
So glad that I found the whole quote, because it bothers me when you have everybody complaining about Nathan MacKinnon and, oh, he's just a sore loser. Hey, how about you put it in the net then instead of having, you know, missing it wide left like he did? And was he on the ice also at the end? He didn't fight off the play from Werenski to send it over to Hughes to win it. It's whatever, dude. He paid some reverence to the team. It wasn't just complaining about losing and they were the better team.
It was a part of a greater quote, which was a little bit more credit the United States and a little bit more acknowledging that it was more than just that. That gets cherry picked out. It's a little misleading. I agree with you. I'm glad you found that. 248-539-9797. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't have to be in Detroit to stay connected.
Tigers camp questions. How about some Red Wings urgency?
Pistons uncertainty and Lions roster moves all matter.
Costa and Jansen with Heather gives you the same conversations fans are having back home.
Real opinions.
Real debate.
And structure that keeps it focused on what actually matters.
We're not chasing headlines. No filler.
Detroit sports talk that makes sense wherever you're listening from.
Follow and listen to Costa and Jansen with Heather on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of The Preamble. Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot, and it's even harder to do it when the world around you feels chaotic. But I'm here to help. Each week, my expert guests and I slow things down to talk about the stories shaping our world, what's really happening behind the headlines, why it matters, how it all connects. And if you're ready for real understanding and maybe even a little bit of hope, follow and listen to The Preamble wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Pistons huge game tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. Looking forward to that. And Scott, we will be there. We'll be there tonight for this game.
Yep.
Maybe we try and go Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep. Probably not, but definitely tonight. I'm excited for this one. Let's go to Muhammad in Dearborn here on 97.1. Hello, Muhammad.
Yes, happy Monday. Congratulations to the U.S. for winning the gold.
It was awesome.
Okay, now, I was following the Michigan box score early in the game. I think Michigan was winning by like 1 or 2 points. Mm-hmm. After that point, Michigan shot a total of 25 shots. Okay?
Yeah.
They made 3 from 11. Three from the three-pointers. So that means they had 11 shots from 13. They made 11 or 13 shots from the two-point range. That's almost 85%. When someone is shooting 85% from the field, you stay with it. So I don't know why did Michigan go back to the three and Well, you know, I mean, that's an amazing fact.
Mohammed, I am watching that game. I was trying to figure out if they were having just a bad shooting night. Duke was definitely deserves credit for some of what they did defensively. But Michigan missed some open threes, and there's a vulnerability there, and it's a good reminder because it's one and done in March, and that's where it matters most. Yeah. And, you know, we've had a call. Somebody didn't like the officiating today. Guess what? You're not going to like every call March Madness either. You still have to find a way. You're not always going to have your A game. You still have to find a way. Or you're done. And
yes.
You know, if you're humble about this as an organization, like whatever the fans say is one thing, but as a team, they need to look in the mirror and figure out, okay, why didn't we shoot it? And maybe it was just a bad night. That can happen. But why'd you get out-rebounded? That's the one that I bet that bothers Dusty May.
You want to know why they got out-rebounded?
Sure, what?
You want to know why they got out-rebounded?
I want to know.
Because when they shoot a three, and, you know, and let's just say there's no one inside to box out, you know, most of the time the team is going to get out-rebounded. One last thing. Can I tell you two useless but amazing facts?
Sure.
Okay. Since 1977, no two teams from the same state have won the Super Bowl and the national championship in the same season. It hasn't happened.
In football?
In basketball, it happened two times. The 2006 Florida, and it happened another time.
1989.
Can you guess what it
1989,
happened?
The Pistons in Michigan.
You got it.
Yep. So, thank you for those amazing stats.
That was an amazing and useless stat.
Stat of the day. Mike is next here on 97.1. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
My champ is the Northern Michigan women's hockey team. They lost one game regular season. They lost in their division playoffs to Ohio State, and they're on their way to the Nationals.
Okay, you're talking about Northern Michigan University?
Yes.
Do they have a women's hockey team?
Yes, they do.
Is it club? Or is it? Not that it matters. I thought I kept hearing over the weekend that the state of Michigan had no women's hockey programs. So if it's club, that's fine.
They played Michigan State. They played Ohio State.
Ohio State has a women's hockey, a Division I hockey program. If Northern Michigan,
the number two in the country.
Let me just put it to you like this: even if the club team did it, the vote counts. Like I just wondered if I've missed this. Do they have a women's hockey program? And they don't. I just looked it up. So it is club. Good for them.
Okay.
I don't mean to discount it at all.
No, that's fine.
Yep.
And the chumps are the guys from Canada who gracefully couldn't lose, and they had all the chance in the world to beat us, and they couldn't do it. So they need to grow up.
Well, I mean, it's certainly anybody who's either going too far on this side or losing it. I saw a headline today. It's hilarious. It was from The Athletic, and it's probably specific to those people, and I want to read it accurately because it just made me laugh. I read it to you, Gator, and you kind of giggled a little bit, and I can't find it right now. But it was essentially, congratulations to Team USA, and then underneath it said, and relax, Canada. but anyway.
Look, losing a game like that can bring out the worst in you. And winning a game like that can bring out the worst in you. Just go back a year ago. What was the feeling like after the Four Nations?
Four Nations,
Cup?
Yeah.
Because that was a spirited affair, to say the least. You had the game that they played in the round robin tournament with the three fights in 9 seconds. And then you had the championship game played between the two teams. And it was fantastic hockey. It was incredible hockey, setting up what we saw yesterday, where a goaltender stood on his head to keep his team in it and have that chance. And then you get to overtime and the format changes to 3-on-3. And I know most people don't like it, and that's fine. I don't love it either, but it's the format they have. And both teams have to play it, and both teams benefit from it, right? You had Canada benefited from it in the semifinal game, able to win it in overtime. and the United States able to win it in the gold medal game.
248-539-9797. It's from The Athletic, and it's How the Olympics Change Legacies Plus Settle Down Canada. I mean, let's face it, though. The too many men, if everything were inverted and it happened to us, it's one of the easier penalties to call in the game.
Yeah, it was surprising it wasn't called. Yeah. There were a few calls on both teams. You're like, really? You're either letting that go, or two, what the hell is that? But there's no question the United States benefited from that. Now, does that mean Canada wins the game? Of course not. You still got to score, and they were unable to score with the extra man advantage or the two-man advantage that the United States were able to kill. And even if they were, then it doesn't mean the United States wouldn't come back and with the extra attacker because they pull the goalie score, because that's happened too.
Let's go to Greg next on 97.1. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, sir.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's the first time, long time, and I totally appreciate everything you guys did. But I have never watched this much hockey in my life. And one of the reasons that I watch so much is my nephew, Jake Davis, who's a history teacher in Lincoln Park, was one of the linesmen for the Olympics. So it didn't matter what team was playing. I'm searching Peacock. I'm going all over the place looking for these games just to watch a referee skate up and down. But I just thought that... with all the things we've seen in hockey and everything else and watching, to go to like a Michigan State game or Michigan State game down at the Joe or at the Little Caesars Arena,
yeah,
and sit there and everybody's looking at each other, who are you cheering for? I'm like, oh, I'm cheering for number 91, that referee right there. So it was quite exhilarating for my family. You know, I never thought anybody in my family would ever be in the Olympics, but he's a wonderful young man, and I'm just so proud of him. He did the World Juniors in Finland. He did the Worlds in New Zealand, and he was blessed to be picked by the Olympic Committee to referee hockey. And it made him more exciting to watch, I guess. You know,
no, it's cool for you and your family. What is he? Does he do NHL hockey at all?
He's done some Predator games. He's done mostly preseason. You know, sometimes it's weird how referees get picked, and most of the time you got to be, you know, an NHL player to make it that high. As far as refereeing goes, but he has done some pro games, but mostly, he's got a young family now. He'd have to go down to Florida and do a Panther game or, right, you know, things like that. But all in all, he's traveled the world, and he's a young man. I think he's 35 years old, and he has a young family now. And but this is one of my champs of the day because he doesn't get acknowledged, and most of these people, we're all talking about all the athletes and everything else, but...
There's another state of Michigan connection.
Another state of Michigan connection is exactly what I was thinking.
So the USCHO Division I men's hockey poll has come out.
Yeah.
Michigan State's number one.
Yeah.
Michigan's number two.
Yeah.
Western's number four.
Yeah.
And Michigan Tech is number 16.
Yep.
Four of the top 16 from this state.
Mm-hmm. Pick it up, Ferris.
Right? Let's go, Bulldog.
Carson Anderson, 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
On your show sheet, you asked a question, and sometimes when you ask a question, I think it's because you have an answer. And so when I saw this, I'm like, I wonder what Gator's answer is. Now, sometimes you're just asking the question, but I'm really, really optimistic that you have an answer to this one.
All right.
Were you inspired by the Olympics? Is there something you want to try?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm old.
I mean, I'm not inspired, but maybe you are.
That's the question because people have kids and the kids get all excited about it, and that's really kind of where the question was born out of. And I thought back to when I've already told what I wanted to do when I was, 9 or 10 years old, coming out of the Olympics in 1980, that I loved speed skating and the hockey, and I wanted to speed skate. Asked my parents for speed skates, and I think they laughed it off, and rightfully so.
they laughed at you, man?
Well, wow, man, chase your dreams, man.
My dad did build an ice rink in the backyard that I like to skate on into.
That's cool.
But, it was, for me, I'm watching this. The only thing that's inspired me during this Olympic break, like you showed me a video when you were, I think it was either you were in Canada skiing or you were up north skiing. And it was a quick video of just skiing down a not very steep hill.
Yep.
And I'm like, that does look like fun. I've never skied really in my life. And I would like to do that. Of course, not Olympic style.
No, right.
Let's get going 50 miles an hour. Although I don't know how much a hurdled body can go, how fast it goes down the hill, not on skis. But
so
fallen within 2 seconds.
I don't know if it's true at Boyne. And I think it's still true at Nub's Knob. The Bunny Hill, which they don't call the Bunny Hill, but
I like bunnies,
is free. So if you're learning, they let you the first taste free.
Yeah, right.
And that's helpful. When you do get inspired, we got some extra ski gear. You can come on up. And I still think Kang, I beg of him to try it because he's so miserable in the winter.
Yes, I am.
And I think you would find yourself enjoying winter a little bit more if you had an outdoor sport to lean
well,
into.
I was inspired, Gator.
Yeah?
I was inspired. Sorry, Doug. It's a little different than what you're thinking.
Okay.
I came up with a new event. I think running in the snow should be an Olympic event.
Just jogging or
skis,
Olympic marathon?
You're watching the cross-country skiers are basically running, and why not just run? Why put skis on?
Yeah, so it's got to be like 6 inches of snow, though. I mean, this is tough.
Snow
like,
running.
Yes.
Okay.
Like running, like, I want to see if Usain Bolt's as fast in the snow as he is on track. And I've always thought this, too, because in the Summer Olympics, I think running in the pool should be an event, too.
Well, we came up with a new event that I can't believe doesn't exist. Why isn't there a winter decathlon? Speed skating? Luge, cross-country skiing, downhill skiing. Like you could put together a bunch of these and have a winter decathlon.
Do we need to?
Well, of course we don't need to do anything, but I like the idea.
It's interesting.
It'd just be another thing for Norway to win, but whatever.
Right. It's interesting. But I mean, how many people are training in all those different disciplines? Whereas you've got, I think the decathlon is born out of a track meet.
Yep.
Because you have the track and field events and, everybody, why not? Hey, I'll screw around. Let me throw the shot put, see what that's like, in addition to being, running the 400 hurdles, whatever. Not me personally, of course. I can only go 110 hurdles. I can't do the full 400. But the this winter sports just doesn't, like, you're training in your discipline to ski, which is completely, you have to go to a whole different area if you're going to go in these sliding events.
Understood.
Luge, skeleton, and bobsled.
I'm just surprised.
Mono
I think it could be something that could be done, but, and I would be intrigued, but I love everything but the figure and skating and the ice dancing. It just does nothing for me. But I realize it's probably on the network's marquee. It gets like the biggest rating, and that's fine.
Maybe they should add archery to the biathlon.
Yeah.
Instead of shooting the rifle, you shoot an arrow.
Yeah, I have goals in life to get to the next Winter Games. It's a goal, and we'll see if it happens. But I want to see all this stuff.
How about with the biathlon? You're out there cross country skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have one stop where you have to pull out the rifle and shoot.
Yep.
Shoot those targets. Keep skiing. Then you stop at another one. You pull out the bow and arrow. You shoot that.
Crossbow,
sure. Yeah. Or not, yeah, just bow so and arrow rather than crossbow. No, crossbow is too much like the rifle. And then you get to a third checkpoint and you have to slam a pint and throw a bullseye with a dart.
I like it.
And then, you know, go to another lap.
Works for me. 248-539-9797. I will say that
just
watching,
don't cross the hog line.
Well, the funny thing you bring up, I'm inspired. Every time I watch Olympic level skiing, I want to go skiing. And every time I watch the half pipe, I renew my vow to get out of a half pipe. There is smaller versions up north where I will ski up the side and the very tip of the skis will poke out and I'll turn and ski down. I want to jump out, spin and land back. And I'm not going to ever do it unless I have a coach.
See, now every time I'm watching that now, I think of you.
Yep.
And I'm watching these men and women go through the half pipe and with the skis. And I'm just thinking to myself, Doug is never going to do this.
I know.
It's totally that I don't think you can. And I've never seen you ski. But if you don't have it in your head, if you don't have that mentality about being able to, once you're at the bottom of the hill and you pick up the momentum, then you ski up and you get, and you're perpendicular to the hill.
Yeah.
If you can't get the mentality to complete that, get up above it and spin around and come back down, it's either there or it's not. I don't think it's something that's learned.
And yet just even skiing up the side and the tip of the skis poke out and I turn and ski down and I'm thinking Red Bull, call me. But the call hasn't come yet.
No.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Aubrey in Farmington Hills. You're next. Hello, Aubrey.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. A couple things. First of all, thanks for the ride back via your Odyssey app. My brother-in-law and I hung out for the weekend, and we were able to enjoy you from West Michigan. So thank you for that.
Cool.
I'll hit three things. Thank you. I'll hit three things pretty quickly. You know, you were talking about the Olympics. I think the technology in terms of how we're watching those games with the drones and the sky cameras have gone to a whole new level. I actually love it. Second thing, real quick, I love the Chuck Swirsky reset. There are not a lot of folk that probably listen to you that remember Chuck in Detroit.
Yeah.
Cool guy, kind of quirky, but loved hearing about him. What I really wanted to talk about was Michigan Duke. You know, I never felt that Michigan was in a position to truly win that game or have any kind of control. We were always playing catch up. That said, I think it's a good time for this type of game. You know, our offense really struggled to get the ball down low against Duke. And so it gives us a chance to kind of work those kinks out. And, you know, it doesn't hurt us for the number one seed, in my opinion, you know, if we handle our business now for the rest of the year. So it gives us a chance to really kind of get things in order and really make that run towards a Final Four and hopefully a national championship. So those are the things that I wanted to hit you with.
Yeah, Aubrey. I mean, look, if you're a team that loses a game and has championship aspirations, it's always important to go back, watch it again, and look in the mirror. You know, Dusty May is a basketball geek. He's so locked in. Told the story. I can't remember where they won, but they landed back in Ann Arbor during the Super Bowl, and he went home for the Super Bowl and watched Northwestern tape because that's just prioritizes his time. It's time to get back into the drawing board and see what needs to perhaps be tweaked before you get into March Madness. They're kind of a Friday win at Illinois away from pretty much locking up the Big Ten. And so it's just a matter of seeing what else needs to get addressed before you get into one and done basketball. And you got to make the best of that situation. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.